Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. It's 9 o'clock. You know what that means. It means a Clearwater check-in every night at 9 o'clock. We talk some baseball here on the show as we look forward to opening day, just about a little over 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from Thursday, opening day. The Phillies are getting ready, and obviously the training camp or spring training battles, I have football on the mind as always around here, but spring training battles, especially in center field, are really heating up, and the bullpen is starting to sort itself out. Let's talk to our guest tonight. Brent Hershey is the GM of content at Baseball HQ. He loves to talk Phils, and he always is tweeting about their system and their process. I said, you know what? Let's get Brent on tonight, talk some Phillies for our Clearwater check-in. Brent, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the invite. Good to be here.
You got it, man. I'm excited to talk to you and excited to talk about this Phillies team. Brent, give me your thoughts on the offseason and the Dombrowski hiring, because there was a feeling around here for a couple months that, man, the Phillies don't know what they're doing. They're kind of rudderless. The owner was going to spend, and now he's pulling back the spending, and there's no GM. And then Dombrowski arrived, and it feels like, you know, they at least have a situation where everyone's kind of rowing in the same direction now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dombrowski move obviously is almost like the biggest move of the offseason, really. I mean, before that, like you said, I think there was a lot of trepidation about JT leaving, about what they're going to do at shortstop, and just the fact that they spent invested all this money in Harper, and then just 2 years later, we're going to kind of let that ride. So I know when I heard the news about Dombrowski, it definitely made me feel positive about it, because I think they, knowing his pedigree, I didn't think that he would accept the job if he didn't have some sort of ability to go out and continue to build the team up.
Brent, what did you make of the moves that he did make? Obviously, the big ones were bringing back JT Realmuto, Didi Gregorius, basically running back, a very similar everyday lineup from last year. But the ones that we're all paying attention to are the bullpen and then the back of the rotation. A lot of depth pieces. They didn't spend a lot of money on any one particular guy, but they spread that money around. Archie Bradley and Kinsler and Tony Watson and Chase Anderson and Matt Moore. What did you make of kind of all the darts he threw, hoping to land some depth here and some guys that could actually pitch?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of what you need to do with the bullpen, especially just because bullpen guys are so volatile from year to year oftentimes. Guys with big stuff like Alvarado, is one great dart to throw. He's 25, he pumps it up there at the high 90s. The bullpen needs that. I mean, bringing in Coonrod and Watson and Kinsler and some of these other hard throwers, I think just to give him a shot here in spring training and see how it's going to shake out. Bradley too, whether he evolves into kind of a full time closer or they split it with Neris, but I think they definitely have some better pieces now this year. And so I think the bullpen outside of JT, the obvious one, I think the bullpen is a big upgrade. We'll see.
Back of the rotation, Brent, it's funny because there are some good pitchers out there. Jake Odorizzi just signed for not really that much money with the Astros.
Yeah.
A Taiwan Walker got only about $20 million over 2 years to go to the Mets. So there were good pitchers with track records that didn't get a ton of money, but the Phillies didn't go that route. Instead, they kind of diversified it. And if you add up the money, like what they're paying to Velasquez in arbitration and Chase Anderson and Matt Moore, they went with a group of arms there. Did you think that made sense, or do you think it would have made more sense to go after one guy that maybe you feel better about?
I think it seems to me maybe the question they have with Howard about how many innings he can go this year, just given his history and some of the struggles, last year, maybe played into that. As far as if they bring in Anderson, they bring in more like that, who obviously are cheaper than I agree, better pitchers in someone like Odorizzi. They can give Howard more time either in the bullpen or at the alternate camp and kind of help manage his innings some. I know that's kind of a balance they're going to have to walk the whole way through this season. And I still believe that Howard's going to be, in a couple of years, an important part of the rotation. But I think that, I think that is one way to go about it. And if either one of Moore or, Chase Anderson kind of hits and pitches, fairly solidly at the back end of the rotation there, that's just going to give them more depth than what they would have if they were trying to manage Howard back there.
We're talking to Brent Hershey, GM of Baseball HQ, talking to Phillies here, Clearwater Check-In. We talk some baseball every night at 9 o'clock. Brent, all of this, of course, is revolving around what they're going to do this season and how good they could be. But every time we have this conversation and we get excited, and I think they're going to be a team that goes over their win total and be better than the last couple of years and have their first winning season in a decade, yet the NL East is the thing that kind of hovers over all of this. The playoff format, at least as of right now, only allows for 5 teams, so it's not like last year. They're going to need to be really good to make the playoffs in the NL. Where do you, if you're stacking up this division right now, Brent, where do you see the Phillies? Because you have the Braves, who have been the best in this division for a while. The Mets, who have did a lot with Lindor, and even more than that, look really talented. And the Nationals, we know with that pitching, if they're healthy, they're formidable. Last full season, they won the World Series. And the Marlins made the playoffs last year. Where do you view the Phillies in terms of the hierarchy of this division?
I kind of think that they're right in the middle, a little bit behind the Braves and possibly the Mets. I mean, the Mets still have to kind of actually prove it to me. I mean, they made all the right moves there, but we've seen some of those not be so successful in the past. I think the thing that I think about the Phillies this year too is that they do have a couple really strong pieces. Bohm is going to be a year older with that experience. Eflin can continue to pitch like he's pitching, like a solid middle guy for a whole 162 game season. If someone like Howard contributes like there, I think that's kind of the smaller step that we're hoping and assuming that they can kind of take that way. And then you have your cornerstones in Harper and Nola, and assuming that they just continue to perform at the level that they have, and there's no really indication that they shouldn't given their age and history and what.
Brent, just on the playoff format, what were your thoughts on how baseball did it this year? And I know there's a lot of politics to it and the CBA, yeah, and they're fighting and it's leverage and all that stuff. But as a fan last year, I did enjoy some aspects of what changed. And some of their keeping this year with the runner on second base, I thought it made extra innings more interesting and just more strategy involved. But I'll tell you, I know over 162, 8 teams in each league, that's too much. It just felt like too much, and it would be too much. Yet I'd be lying, if I said last year in September it wasn't interesting to watch all of those teams every night in September have something to play for. Where do you fall in expanded postseason?
I'm kind of like you. I mean, I still think like the beauty of baseball is 162 game long season. And so that, and that it's different than some of the other sports, and that there's not as many, teams make the playoffs in percentage with how, big the league is. But I agree with you that it did, really add some intrigue, down the stretch there. And just to know, in the Phillies case, they were basically one game away. One of those many games at the bullpen, blew last year throughout the season. They were kind of one win away from kind of making the playoffs. So it's sort of a give and take that way. I enjoy enjoy the history and tradition of the, not a lot of teams making it, but it's certainly, I would not be surprised if the because of the money and the owners and all that, trying to cash in as much as they can. The revenue is good, is that, that an expanded playoff format, will probably likely be in some form in this new CBA. Hopefully they can, work that out before the beginning of next season.
It'd be great if they did, and we don't have a work stoppage or anything like that. But we are getting a season here. And last one for you, Brent. This will be Bryce Harper's third season in Philadelphia. It was incredible to talk about that every night for a couple of winters ago, because it was something fans were invested in. It was a chase, and they got their guy, and he's become the face of the franchise. Brent, the way I look at Bryce Harper is he's been what I expected. He is one of the best offensive players in baseball. He consistently puts up high on base percentages, hits for power. I have been very pleased with Bryce Harper as a Philly so far. But there are some fans out there who said, look, he got $330 million. He hasn't registered an MVP vote yet in Philadelphia. He's been more very good than great, I think is a fair way to put it. How would you assess Bryce, and do you think he's living up to the contract?
I do. I think he's living up to the contract so far. Like you said, it's only 2 years in. I think it's, again, sort of the long view, it's unrealistic that he's going to, you know, put up MVP type numbers every year. But, you know, he's 28 with that much experience. He had a great 60 games last year there until the very end when his back gave him problems. You know, he made better contact, struck out less. Like you said, he's getting on base, so he's not, not creating outs. I do think he's been worth it. I mean, certainly at the end of 13 years, if they've only made the playoffs a couple of years, or they haven't gotten that ring or haven't gone far, then it's definitely a disappointment. But I'm a little bit more on the as long as he can stay healthy and continue to produce like he does, that'll continue to kind of should get us to that point, where we're, close to making the playoffs or being a contending team, and I'm excited about Dombrowski and seeing what they're going to do here in the short term in the next couple seasons.
Yeah, we are too. It's going to be a fun year, and the NL East should be fun to watch every single night. Brent Hershey, GM of BaseballHQ.com. Brent, appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading, and thank you. Let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Brent Hurst, you're talking to Philly. So he's with me that Bryce has lived up to things. And the question is where they fall in the NL East. And we'll start hearing and understanding the answer to those questions pretty soon here. 215-592-949. When we get back, you're going to hear from Larry Boa. We'll continue the Philly talk for a little bit. Larry Boa had some really interesting things to say about the team's defense this year, how he is not on board with their projection of wins. And Larry Boa chimed in on – I mean, really, I thought his conversation with Jim Salisbury on the Phillies Talk podcast was one of the more interesting baseball conversations I've heard in a long time. And his thoughts on why and when the spending for the Phillies changed. So we'll hit all that coming up. 215-592-9494. You'll hear from Larry Boa coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 917 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We have discussed a whole bunch tonight, and I let off with this. I trust, despite reservations that I have, despite real reasons to have pause on what the heck Jeff Lurie's doing as a meddling owner now, and the latest today that came out from ESPN with the Jalen Hurts pick, Howie was on board and Doug wanted to develop a young quarterback, but that was Jeff Lurie was pushing it. So Jeff Lurie pushing to build around Jalen Hurts should be no surprise. He is picking the quarterback. He is determining who the coach is and determining the strategy. He is right there in the draft room with Howie Roseman. We have a meddling owner in Philadelphia. That in itself as a vacuum, that worries me, and I wish it wasn't like that. But here's what I can't ignore. Even if I don't agree with process, the results is all that actually matters to me as a fan. And if the Eagles continue to be, and I know last year was not this, but overall, they have been one of the NFL's better teams for Jeff Lurie's basically his entire tenure. He picks good coaches. Those coaches usually win right away. He signs free agents when they have cap room. They have GM who creates cap room, and usually they have good cap situations. All this stuff. And look, in the period of time that we have learned that he's meddled more, they've won the Super Bowl. So despite having some reservations about the way and the method here, I trust Jeff Lurie to put the Eagles back in championship contention again soon. Do you? 215-592-9494. And I was asking for some help tonight with my son had a Carson Wentz jersey. He still has it. But, you know, he started asking yesterday, like, hey, can we get a new jersey? Carson Wentz isn't on the team anymore. Who's the player I should get now? I want a new jersey. And so I'm going to get him one. And then I have a daughter who's about to be four. She's going to want what her brother has soon. So I need to think of some jerseys here for current players or former players, but I need a good Eagles jersey that will last. I thought he's wearing the Carson one. As much as I was down on Carson, I was like, well, he's going to be around at least a little while. And then, boom, he's the worst quarterback in the league, and he's out of here, and Jalen Hurts takes his job. But you look at the team right now, there's not one or two locks that you say, all right, that's a really good jersey to buy because that'll last a while. That guy will be here. He'll be a player. And they have young players who are unproven. I like Jalen Hurts. It still feels a little risky to go buy that jersey right now. Some of the draft picks from last year, who knows? You're not going to buy him a Jalen Reagor jersey off of last year. And then some of the vets that have been around a while that you feel like those guys, yeah, they're good players. They're older. You know what no one mentioned tonight? No one mentioned Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham could be a good jersey. Brandon Graham is going to be around for the next couple years, at least this next year. Brandon Graham is an all-time Eagle. That's one I'm going to throw in the mix. We heard Kelsey tonight, and we got Tucker over here suggesting special teamers. So it's all out there. I need your suggestion.
Elite special teamers.
Good special teamers. Very good. Elite special teamers?
He was ninth in special team tackles and 377th in special team snaps.
That's quite good, but we're not talking about Steve Tasker here for the Bills in the 90s. What are we doing? It's not Ike Reese. It's not an all-time special teamer. Not yet. He did it for 1 year. Can you let him do it for longer? Just let him do it again.
It only takes 1 year.
No,
sitting here crowning a guy franchise quarterback for playing 4 games.
No, I believe he can be a franchise quarterback. That can be. You've put Rudy Ford in the Eagles Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. Anyway, 215-592-9494 for you guys to hop in. All right, so Larry Boa today. I caught some of his appearance on Jim Salisbury's podcast, the Phillies Talk podcast. He had some really interesting things to say. I want to play a couple for you here. So the first one, we know the Phillies offseason was kind of odd, where nothing happened in the beginning. It seemed like they were just going to go in a tunnel and hide away and not spend any money, maybe not even really hire a GM. And then something changed. And the Phillies, after talking about how the pandemic ruined their finances, somehow, some way, have a payroll almost the same as last year after it's all said and done. So what changed? Here's Larry Boa's take, his theory on why the Phillies started spending, more the way they did last year, even though they lost a bunch of money during last season. Here's what Larry Boa said.
Early, I was, I'm not going to say disappointed, but I was scratching my head a little bit because, as you well know, it's been well documented that bullpen last year was a complete mess down there. And it wasn't through who we were using or bringing in. Guys just couldn't get people out. We had some guys down there with experience. They just weren't getting the job done. So as the winter progressed, now this is just me talking. I saw the Mets change ownerships. And once they changed ownerships, they start spending money. And John Middleton is a very, very competitive person. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee, I have not talked to John about this. This is just my speculation. He probably looked down the turnpike there and said, wait a minute here. This team's getting really good. We need to start doing something. And then obviously they hired Dave. And I think everything sort of fell into place after that.
So the ascension of Steve Cohen as the owner with the Mets. We talked about this on the show, how big of a deal that would be to the Phillies, that the Mets, who always had some talented players, but poor ownership, and it just seems like there's always another shoe drops and that franchise can't figure things out. They got an owner who means business. So he wants to win a World Series within 5 years. And in Larry Boa's mind, Steve Cohen taking over the Mets scared John Middleton, like, oh boy, if I don't spend, we're going to get lapped by... It's one thing that the Braves have won this division the last couple of years. They've been the class of it. But are we going to get lapped by the Mets too? You know what? If that's true, that actually helps me gain some respect for John Middleton. He's aware of the situation. Like, all right, I got another challenge here. I got to step up to the challenge and spend some money and keep my team competitive because we don't have a great farm system. And the Mets are getting Lindor. And the Mets are getting McCann. And they're after Springer and Bauer. And I credit Middleton for at least rising to that challenge. That was the Larry Boa theory now on why they started spending more money. How about this take from Boa on the defense this year? I think the defense for the Phillies is going to be, other than injury concerns, their biggest weakness. It is not a good defensive team. Larry Boa, though, disagrees with that and thinks they're better defensively than maybe people are giving credit for.
Well, the way that the analytics bring it out to you, you're probably right. But sometimes, to me, the naked eye tells me more than sometimes those numbers. I mean, I like a shortstop like Didi. We had a little meeting yesterday about who was in the right place at the right time last year. And Didi was in the top five. But yet you read another article and it says Didi's range is down. So if you're in the right place, it really doesn't matter if you've lost a step. I really believe that our infield, we're going to make all the routine plays. Are we going to make great plays every night? Probably not. But Bohm has definitely improved. I love Segura at second base. Didi, I'm fine with it, shortstop. I think Didi's, and you said, we got the best catcher in baseball. And Harp, I thought, played very good in right field. McCutcheon's going to be on two legs this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was hard to watch, man. He was hurting, and he played every day. And center field's wide open right now. And Odubel Herrera has opened some eyes. He's coming in great shape. I've had a lot of conversation with this young man. I know he knows he messed up. He's apologized to young kids. He's apologized to the whole team. You can see that he's matured a lot. I hope he continues to have the spring he has, because if he does, you're talking about another bat in that lineup, and all you're doing is spreading that line. You've got a long lineup right now of tough outs. And if Odubel happens to be that guy, I'm not saying he is, you're talking about another left-handed bat in that lineup. So I would say our defense isn't great, but it's to me, it's not below average.
Well, I disagree with Larry. I think the defense is below average, but it just was funny to listen to him say what he said. They're like, listen, are we going to make great plays every night? Nope. But are we going to catch what comes to us? I mean, and I generally agree with his assertion on that. I don't think Segura's a pro. Didi's a pro. The problem is those guys are not young, and I don't think they have range. I mean, Rhys Hoskins has morphed from – he's not a butcher over there, but he doesn't have range. He doesn't make any spectacular plays. Bohm, I think he's improved. He seems like a hard worker, but I don't think he's going to confuse anyone for a Gold Glover. I don't think they're going to kick the ball around like the Bad News Bears, Tucker, but the idea is, can they get to the ball that other defenders get to? And I don't know. I mean, they have three – their top three pitchers are all basically ground ball kind of pitchers, and – I don't see anyone in the infield. I'm like, you know what? He's going to get to everything. That's a worry.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Bohm had a lot of quick twitch athleticism.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
Like, he's tall. He can dive to either side. I mean, his big issue is throwing.
Yeah.
Right? Like when it comes to what Alec Bohm struggles at, it's throwing the baseball, as crazy as that sounds.
I could see him being a good first baseman if they removed him there. He could
I mean, he obviously has a huge catch radius. He could be an asset at first base. I don't know if he'd be a Gold Glover, but... He could be someone who could really perform there. I mean, think about Ryan Howard stuck at first base for a decade.
Right.
And no one threw the ball worse than Ryan Howard. But, yeah, I mean, I get where Bo is coming from, and those guys are pros, and the Phillies do shift a lot. So hopefully they're already starting from the right place. But, I mean, you're not going to confuse Didi and Gene Segura and Andrew McCutcheon and whoever's in center field and even Bryce Harper. Like, those guys aren't Gold Glovers. And those guys aren't going to contend for Gold Gloves in 2021.
Yeah, look, I mean, we could slice it any way we want. And I guess the assertion McCutcheon's on two legs this year instead of one, that certainly will help. But here's the deal. I'd be surprised if there are 10 worse teams defensively in baseball than the Phillies. I would. I mean, other than JT, is there one guy you say, you know what, that's a definite plus in the field? There's not one. I've contended this before he got here. Bryce Harper is way more average in right field or in the outfield than he's – people told me he was bad when he came from Washington. I argued that. I mean, he's not bad. I also don't think he's really a Gold Glove outfielder. Like, he got some accolades the last couple of years for being in the mix for that. I don't see that either. But I think he's an average right fielder. He'll get to the ball. He'll hustle. He'll do fine. He's a good arm. Center field, I mean, if it's Herrera, he's not going to be a plus center fielder after 2 years off. He's just not. He's older now, and he wasn't plus before. Quinn doesn't know what he's doing. I like Haseley. He's hurt again. And Kingery, I mean, I saw some highlights of some of his at-bats today. I think he struck out two or three times today against the Blue Jays. Boy, I hope that Scott Kingery works out. But every day that passes, I have less faith that Scott Kingery is going to be a real player. So center field, just who knows? McCutcheon may have two legs, but he's older now. And the infield can't move. I mean, I just can't do a lot. I think the defense will be a problem for this team. But guess what? Larry Boa has a theory on how they can help improve the infield defense without improving any actual athletes on the field. Here is what actually is a fun idea, an old school idea from Larry Boa to fix or help the infield defense.
When I went to Chicago towards the end of my career, and Ron Say was with me, what they did, they let the grass grow. And I said, hey, Joe, let the grass grow a little bit. Let these guys get an extra step. I mean, you might as well tailor your field after your personnel on the field. And, you know, we have a lot of ground ball pitchers. Those first three guys – are ground ball pitchers. We don't have a lot of ground ball hitters, so why not tailor your field just to satisfy the pitchers that we have? And it would help the infield. So I don't know if we're going to do that, but Joe thought it was a good idea.
You know what? When I first heard this, I listened to this the Phillies Talk podcast with Jim Salisbury this afternoon, and I heard Larry Boas say that, which we just played for you. And my first instinct was like, I'm kind of laughing at it. And then you think about it, it is an old school thing. This used to happen, right? He was talking about the teams that used to have the fast infields because they had fast runners. They'd bunt and just to chop the ball into the ground and run. I mean, like that home field advantage, using your park to your advantage based on your players. You don't talk about it as much anymore, but it's the one sport where your stadium, and you can do whatever you want with that, can be your advantage. You could build your team to your advantage. And like, it seems so, I don't know, silly and little league, but if the Phillies have three ground ball pitchers, I mean, significant ground ball pitchers, the three best ones, and they have an infield we just discussed that really isn't that good defensively, you know, if you have that grass higher, the ball's going to slow down. It's not going to get through. It actually seems like a very crazy but logical idea. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would take much. It seems like a smart idea. I mean, you see it a lot with some teams. I guess you don't really see it anymore because no one really bunts, but teams used to kind of flood out in front of home plate to stop bunts from rolling around. It's part of the gamesmanship, right? Like, it is such a throwback idea, and it's a novelty idea in today's modern baseball, but 20, 30, 40 years ago, like, that's something that every team would have done.
Well, and look, in any sort of change you make to your stadium or the grass or the dimensions, you have to weigh, okay, is this going to hurt us too? And what he pointed out there is they don't really have, like, how many hitters in the Phillies would you say are, you know, non-power hitting or fly ball hitting guys? Not many, right? Bryce, home run or strikeout or walk. Hoskins is the same thing. Real Muto.
You have a lot of gap-to-gap guys. Like, hopefully Kingery and Real Muto are those guys, and even Herrera if he plays.
I mean, Quinn is the other side of this, right? But who cares? He shouldn't play that much anyway. Their team is built on fly balls and gaps and home runs and walks. That's the way they try to build their offense. They wouldn't be hurt by this. Like, the Phillies' offense, I don't even think they would notice. You think Bryce Harper would ever notice the grass is high when he's hitting? He hits home runs and he walks. Like, that's his offensive game. So I don't think he'd care. I like this idea. Actually, I hope they do it, and they should listen to Larry Boa on this one. Last one for you from Larry Boa, and I was hoping that he got asked this. So the Phillies over-under is about 81, 81.5 wins. I think they're going to go over. I would bet the Phillies to go over this year and actually have a plus 500 season. But what does Larry Boa think of that? Because that comes off as a little bit of disrespect for a guy who probably thinks the team's going to be really good. Here's what Boa had to say.
We're getting over 81 wins. I really believe that. Unless, you know, we have a bunch of injuries, but this team's better than 500. The lineup is top to bottom, is potent. As you said, the three starters, the bullpen's much better. I don't see this team. I tell you what, if we only win 81 games, to me, that'd be a bad season. That's in my opinion.
I agree with Larry on that. Now, the Phillies are no lock for anything. Any team that's gone 500 or worse for 10 straight seasons, you know, we shouldn't be indignant about the over-under being 81.5. Like, they didn't really add that much high-end talent. It wasn't like they added an all-star player this offseason they didn't have before. JT's back, but he was on last year's team that, oh, by the way, was 28-32. So it wasn't like they were a very good team last year. They were a 500 team the year before. They were 80-82 the year before that. And these are their best seasons they've had in the 7 years prior. So we can't get upset at the over-under. And they're in a division that has at least a 90-win team, maybe two 90-win teams if the Mets are really that much better. And the Nats, last time we saw them in a full season, they won the World Series. So I think the number's fair, Tucker, but I like that mentality. I like what he's saying, that it's a bad, not a disappointing season. He called it a bad season if they don't go over 500. They should feel like that.
Yeah, and I think they should. I mean, the flip side is, like, this isn't a team that has necessarily a super high ceiling. Right, like, as optimistic as he is about the offense and the lineup and even the front end of their pitching set, they still have questions across the roster, especially on the bench, still in the bullpen. I mean, it's markedly improved than it was a year ago. But
you can't squint and see 95 wins.
Right, like the ceiling of this team's 88, maybe 90 if they get super lucky. Like this is a team that I think should win over 81 games. I would agree with Barry Bowen that this is a winning baseball team, but 85, 86, like, they're not going to get over there by much. Like, you mentioned there may be two 90-win teams. Like, they finished 86 wins, third place in the division. That seems about right to me.
It does to me, too, and it depends on what the – like, right, so like, there's only two wild cards this year. And if the Phillies are at 86 wins and the second wild card is at 88, 89, 90 wins, and they're in this thing into the last week of the season legitimately with a good team, not with an under 500 team like last year, I think we will take that and we will believe there's something better brewing moving into 2022 and beyond. But as the whole spring training thing plays out, I'm with Larry Bowe on that. If they are not a 500 team, it is a bad season. Last Phillies thing to throw in here, because the center field job is completely wide open, right? Adam Haseley's hurt. We all know the Odubel Herrera situation where the Phillies probably, if they had their druthers, wouldn't want to take this leap. I mean, they may have no choice, and he's the best guy. Kingery looks like crap in spring training. And just, I mean, at some point, can Scott Kingery show us he could be a good baseball player? Like, is this actually going to happen? Or are we just going to keep saying, well, you know, if Scott Kingery, give him a chance. I mean, he's got to show everyone he could play. Because through 3 years, he's been one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball. So he's got to figure this out, or he's not going to play. But there is, and Roman Quinn, look, I've watched enough of Roman Quinn to know what he is. There is a late entry to the mix. You know who keeps hitting the ball well? Mickey Moniak. Mickey Moniak, number one overall pick in 2016. I mean, for years, it has been underwhelming what he's done in his minor league career. He came up last year at the end of the season. He misplayed a fly ball in the outfield. He generally looked just kind of out of place, although the at-bats were not horrendous. He did have an idea at the plate. Defensively, I didn't love what I saw. But if you've watched or paid attention to what's happened so far in spring training, you know who's hit the cover off the ball? Mickey Moniak. The longer it stays wide open, he was their number one overall pick at some point. Like, I bet if the Phillies could draw it up, like, wouldn't they want him to win the job? Wouldn't they be like, wow, there it is. He was our number one pick. He's our center fielder. I don't know. The more I watch him, the more I see how he's doing down there. I think there's a chance we see Moniak this year. When they have an injury or if it's not opening day, I think he's going to be back here. And I'm not sure if it's going to be because he's that great or he's that ready, but he's 22 years old now. They took him the number one overall pick. If he can play, I feel like they're going to try.
And he looks different this year.
He looks bigger.
He looks bigger. Like he doesn't look like a kid. Last year when he played, and I remember they – probably Fransky in L.A., they talked about, wow, he doesn't look that scared at the plate, but he did look overmatched. Like, he didn't look like an adult standing in the box against Jacob deGrom or any of those pitchers. And his outfield play left a lot to be desired, which was always worrisome to me, right? Like, it's one thing if you can't hit major league pitching, fine, there's really no substitute for that. Like, there's a big jump up from that. But playing in the outfield, whether you're playing in high school, college, single-A, rookie ball, triple-A, whatever, tends to be pretty similar, right? Like, misjudging fly balls in a major league ballpark is worrisome. Misjudging fly balls, not being able to throw the ball in, that was my big concern, but he looks much bigger. He looks like an adult now. And, like, if I told you 4 years ago when they drafted him, hey, at 22, he's going to be in the competition to be the opening day center fielder, and he's going to be putting up these numbers in spring training.
That's right. I'd say that's right on track.
You'd be excited. Like you would think, wow, that's great. Never mind the fact that he's really, really struggled the last 3 years. And I wonder what last year would have done for him, right? Like, if he were allowed to play at AA or AAA last year, and he put up half-decent numbers, hit 270, did whatever, I feel like we'd have a much different thought on how Mickey Moniak's career is turning out.
Well, yeah, I mean, his arrival last September, because they needed him, right? They had no choice. They needed help in the outfield. They had injuries, and McCutchen couldn't play outfield. Like what Tucker just said there, the idea of, like, what if he went to AA last season and hit the cover off the ball? You know what his arrival would have been? They're calling him up. Here comes Mickey Moniak. And then we would have gotten excited for what he could have been into 2021, but that wasn't it. It was like, oh, who have they picked? They're calling up. They have nobody else. Moniak? What's he doing in Allentown? He's just sitting around hanging out playing catch. So there was no buzz. He wasn't great. And now this is this weird competition where they have no favorite in this. There's none. I think Herrera's played the best, but it's obviously a complicated situation. So Moniak is in this thing. I am intrigued to see what he could do. And you know what else I'm intrigued by? By the idea if Moniak comes up and does well, you know what we're going to have to do at some point? Were we too hard on the Matt Klentak show? It's coming, right? If Moniak's playing at some point this year and Bohm's hitting the cover off the ball and Spencer Howard's pitching, that might happen. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.